Would you join me now as we read the scriptures, turning to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, reading first of all verses 1 through 7 and then verses 20 through 23. Proverbs 23, 1 through 7. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man, given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Then over to verses 20 through 23. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let us now bow for a moment of meditation and silent prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Lord our God, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws, and we have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent according to thy promises, declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful God, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 191, We Have Heard the Joyful Sound.
Jesus. For the privilege of giving, our Father, we give thanks. Accept, we pray thee, the tithes of our hands and the offerings of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I want to first of all express my appreciation for all the new help that I have. I think it's really wonderful. We have so many who can step in and help in our church, and we are really thankful for this. Well, I didn't know whether to change my subject today and preach on water, water everywhere, or either stick with what I had. I knew I would have a problem keeping a straight face using this subject that I have chosen today, and it is entitled Gluttony. I really never heard a sermon on it, and I never preached one on it. So this is a first. And I looked to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, for our text and our background material. Sidney Smith wrote, "According to my own computation, I have eaten and drank between my 7th and 70th birthday 44 wagon loads more than was good for me." I've heard women express to me, "I wish there was a diet pill." And they talk about being fat as though it were public enemy number one. They say, "I'm a Weight Watcher." You ever heard anybody say that? "I'm going to the Weight Watchers outfit, and I pay so much a pound, you know. And I've been on the grapefruit diet." And somebody else says, "I've been on the fruit salad diet, the protein diet, the liquid diet, and some people have tried the banana diet." I almost turned to monkeys. We have a habit of eating. We get on these exercise machines. There are some people, you know, who have these exercise machines and bicycles, and they try to lose weight. And when they get through, they have to eat a hot chocolate fudge sundae to get strength enough to get back to the living room. Dr. Prettyman, who used to be the chaplain of the United States Senate, said that his version of the conversion of Lydia went something like this. She was baptized, and she asked Paul and Silas what she could do to help the good work along. They suggested that she might go and get dinner for them. And Dr. Prettyman said that women have been preparing meals for preachers ever since. You know, we often hear after dinner speakers talk about, "Well, you know, I've just had so much to eat, I just can't talk." I read about one of those after dinner speakers who talked about 15 minutes and then he began to go into a wonderful oration about the wonderful meal that he had had. Maybe it was something like that wonderful meal we had Friday night with our Sunday school workers here, that was a real splendid fine meal that our Sunday school director and all had prepared, and it was really great and tremendous. And so he began to talk about that meal, and he said, "You know, if I'd eaten another bite," he said, "you know, I would have been unable to talk." Somebody down at the far end of the table called a waiter and said, "I want you to get that man another sandwich." Have you ever had your dress size to get larger and larger, or either to be shrunk by the cleaners? Have you? Have you ladies ever had that happen to you? I've known people who say to me sometime, "You know, I eat like a bird."
But what they mean is like a 500-pound canary. You know. These folks that talk about losing weight and then they eat in secret. You ever see anybody like that? They're off on the side eating chips, maybe four desserts. They are foodaholics, I think, really. You know, clean your plate club, something like that. You know, that's whatever mother says to the child, now clean that plate up. And there are many situations that we might think about, you know, when we think of this subject. They used to have a picture of an old monk in a monastery. And the first thing you look at that picture, you say, well, now there's that old monk with his prayer book spread out before him. He must have been a very humble man. And when you get up to examine that picture very closely, you discover that it's his platter and his goblet on the table before him, which may be painfully true in many cases. He has become the victim of what? Gluttony. Eating really is something of a habit. Back in 1933, when jobs were as scarce as hen's teeth, and people barely got enough food to live off of, there's a story about a man who got a job in a plant sweeping the floor. He was a new man, and every day at mealtime, he slipped around by himself to eat. And the folks thought it rather strange. And so some of the other people in the mill said, we're going to follow him today and find out what this is all about. And so they followed the man, and they found him behind a piece of machinery, sitting on a box with a brown paper sack, eating his lunch. And it was potato peelings. And they thought about this. He said his long employment had been that his children were on the verge of starvation, and so he let his children eat the potatoes, and he ate the peelings for lunch. He didn't know it, but you know, the peelings had the real vitamins in them, and his sacrifice for the sake of the family was making him healthier and stronger every day. Sometimes I feel the same way about my diet. I think the other folks are getting the potatoes and I'm getting the peelings. Because, you know, they cut out all the really good things to eat. They say you ought not eat this, you ought not eat the other. You ought to watch the fat you eat and so forth and so on. And we have all these cooking schools that tell us how to cook with low calories. And then we have a lot of people that can't eat without dinner music. I don't know whether you're one of those or not. It makes you forget what you're eating. You get that music going. Bill Nye said that in the distance, he says, music and eating are going to go together. The baked bean chant, the mush and milk march, the pumpkin pie refrain, and the gay rollicking oxtail soup gallop, and the melting ice cream serenade. All of these, he says, will become common musical names. If you want to lose some weight, if you want to look slim, then get you a set of chopsticks. I don't think you'll be able to, you know, overdo it. I want to say three things about gluttony now. Was that somebody coming in to eat or just leaving? Well, I came to church this morning and I had my grip along with me, and some of the men said, my, you must have a lot of sermon in there yet. I said, I brought my lunch in it because I'm going to talk on gluttony. Now, I want to say three things. First of all, greedy. Second of all, guilty. And third of all, guidance. Now, I hope that I'm a good subject to give you all three of these, all right? First of all, greedy. There are people who weigh as much as 300 pounds or more. We used to have a young man here in this city. He weighed something about, what, 600? What did old Lindsay boy weigh? About 600 pounds or so. And you know, there are people today that'll sit down and eat a whole pie at one time. And there are a lot of people that are overweight, and you say something to them, and you know, they'll laugh at you and then reach over and grab a whole pat of butter and put it on that piece of bread. They're digging their graves with their knives and their forks. The standard in America has certainly been raised, hasn't it? Did you know today we have more to eat in America, more leisure time, and more food than at any other time in history? And our appetites really have become a creed with us. When we go in, we see the merchandise of the various foods, and we become greedy. I guess that's why the church fathers put in the seven deadly sins gluttony along with all the others, such as pride and so forth. Henry VIII used to tackle a whole lamb's leg at one time with both hands with his mouth open. That's hard for us to believe, that a man could eat that much food. There is no law on the law books in this land against eating too much or gluttony. And yet we're quick to condemn other people. We're like the Pharisees. We say, Lord, I thank thee I'm not as fat as somebody else. And somebody has said, why is it that the things that bring the most pleasure and the things we enjoy become sin? Like eating. The Pharisees contrasted Jesus with John the Baptist. They say, behold, he is a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, because he is a friend of the publicans and the sinners. In Luke 7:34, why is it that we overeat? Doctors tell us that it will hurt our health. Some people suffer from obesity. Some people become actually neurotic at this point. And we say we have to have food. It may be that we are out of tune with God and with ourselves when we eat too much food. We may be like that man's 1915 Model T Ford. He worked on that Ford. He put some new pistons in it. He cranked that thing up finally, and he had all the noise that you want to hear. Backfiring, coughing and spitting, a dog underneath of that car at the first backfire took off with a howl of terror. Well, the real mechanic came along and said to him, well, what's wrong with the Ford is this, it's out of time. It's out of tune. It needs to be, the spark is hitting the cylinder head at the wrong time to explode the gas in the chamber with a proper force, and you've got to put it back into time. And sad to say, when we become guilty and greedy in gluttony, we have to put things back in tune and back in time. We have to take time to do it. Well, the second thing I want to say is guilty.
This seems to be a sin before God, according to the scriptures. Dr. Kitto says the Eastern man will sit down and eat an incredible amount of food at any rare opportunity that is given him. And then he went on to say that being overweight cuts down 25% of your life expectancy, that you could live 25% longer, according to medical science, that those who overeat, being guilty of this. A preacher once was preaching on the woman of Samaria, and one of his points was, she is a fat woman. And he went on to explain his explanation of that point. She is a woman of some area. Now, we are guilty of this sin, first of all, because of materialism. It is deadly. Philippians 3:19.